As you can see behind me, the reading today is from 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 21. And I'm reading from the Message this evening. Don't imagine us leaders to be something we aren't. We are servants of Christ, not his masters. We are guides into God's most sublime secrets, not security guards posted to protect them. The requirements for a good guide are reliability and accurate knowledge. It matters very little to me what you think of me, even less where I rank in popular opinion. I don't even rank myself. Comparisons in these matters are pointless. I'm not aware of anything that would disqualify me from being a good guide to you, but that doesn't mean much. The Master makes that judgment. So don't get ahead of the Master and jump to conclusions with your judgments before all the evidence is in. When he comes, he will bring out in the open and place in evidence all kinds of things we never even dreamed of, inner motives, purposes, and prayers. Only then will any one of us get to hear the well done of God. All I'm doing right now, friends, is showing how these things pertain to Apollos and me, so that you will learn restraint and not rush into making judgments without knowing all the facts. It's important to look at things from God's point of view. I would rather not see you inflating or deflating reputations based on mere hearsay. For who do you know that really knows you, knows your heart? And even if they did, is there anything they would discover in you that you could take credit for? Isn't everything you have and everything you are sheer gifts from God? So what's the point of all this comparing and competing? You already have all you need. You already have more access to God than you can handle. Without bringing either Apollos or me into it, you're sitting on top of the world, at least God's world, and we're right there, sitting alongside you. It seems to me that God has put us who bear his message on stage in a theatre in which no one wants to buy a ticket. We're something everyone stands around and stares at, like an accident in the street. We're the Messiah's misfits. You might be sure of yourselves, but we live in the midst of frailties and uncertainties. You might be well thought of by others, but we're mostly kicked around. Much of the time we don't have enough to eat. We wear patched and threadbare clothes. We get doors slammed in our faces. And we pick up odd jobs any week where we can to eke out a living. When they call us names, we say, God bless you. When they spread rumours about us, we put in a good word for them. We're treated like garbage, potato peelings from the culture's kitchen. And it's not getting any better. I'm not writing all of this as a neighbourhood scold just to make you feel rotten. I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you. And want you to grow up well, not spoiled. There are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. It was as Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. I'm not, you know, asking you to do anything I'm not already doing myself. This is why I sent Timothy to you earlier. He is also my dear son and true to the Master. He will refresh your memory on the instructions I regularly give all the churches on the way to Christ. I know there are some among you who are so full of themselves they never listen to anyone, let alone me. They don't think I'll ever show up in person. But I'll be there sooner than you think. God willing, and then we'll see if they're full of anything but hot air. God's way is not a matter of mere talk. It's an empowered life. So how should I prepare to come to you? As a severe disciplinarian who makes you toe the mark? Or as a good friend and counsellor who wants to share heart to heart with you? You decide. This is the word of the Lord. Apollos, hello, welcome. It's good to see you. Come on in, I won't be a moment. I just want to finish this scene, then I'll be with you. Rush job it is. 15th Legion want 25 new tents by the end of the month. Aquila says it's all well and good getting a government contract, but if you don't fulfil it in time, well, the Romans aren't exactly what the right people to be crossing. Priscilla says she doesn't see the problem, but Aquila and I have seen what happens to people who upset the army. Well, that'll do. Finished. Actually, Apollos, I'm glad you're here, because I wanted to have a word with you about something. Oh, no, don't worry. It's not serious like that. I just wanted to clear the air a bit. I got this feeling there was something between us, and I just wanted a chance to chat. I'm aware that there's some people in the church have been talking about us, and I don't want any misunderstanding between us, so I just thought we could clear it up. Well, it's all about this idea that people of God, that they want a leader to follow. You know, I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. How is Peter, by the way? Have you seen him lately? No, I've not either. You know, I know you're not encouraging it, Apollos. But you have to remember that some of those over in Corinth really are quite new to the way. And they're things that they haven't quite matured in yet. And so we've got to do all that we can to help them grow up in Christ. We can't just let them go on the way they are. You and I both know that we're servants. Nothing else. We've been given a particular job, yes, but we're still just servants. You know, some of those less grown-up believers, they do have this thing about following personalities. You know, I'm not really worried what people say about me, but it doesn't mean I'm not concerned that I might be a bit to blame for not quashing it sooner. God will judge me, I know that, not then, but perhaps we ought to do a bit more to discourage this hero worship. Do you remember what you were when you first met Jesus? I remember what I was like. I tell you, it wasn't very pretty. And I know there's some folk right now who say I'm still not very pretty, but I've changed, you know. I'm not like I used to be. You might remember I was on that road going down to Damascus. It was just after we'd murdered Stephen in Jerusalem. And I was after more blood. I'm ashamed to talk about it now. Oh, I know I didn't actually throw rocks at Stephen with the others, but I was right there holding the coats and shouting encouragement. Maybe it was because I didn't join in and I felt not part of what was going on. But I went to the chief priest and I asked for letters of authority. And I took them and I was on my way down to Damascus to get some more of the believers. Still breathing murderous threats. I was there on my horse, muttering under my breath. When suddenly there was this bright light. I can't describe it. It was just incredible. A bright flash from heaven, and then a voice speaking to me. Saul. It said, Saul. You know, I used to be called Saul in those days. I changed my name after I became a believer. I thought it might help people forget my old life. Didn't work. Saul, this voice said anyway, for Saul, it's Jesus. Why are you persecuting me? Why are you after me? Well, let me tell you straight away, having Jesus
speak directly to you about your sin. Well, I never want to face that again. Though I know that we will one day when we see him face to face. When that happens, our hearts will be laid open and he'll see us for what we really are. No cloaking or dissembling or hiding then. He'll see us just what we are. And for what we've done well, he'll say, well done. That's when we get the praise we deserve from God. And anyway, I'm going off the subject of Apollos. Look, the point is this. The church really ought not to take pride in men. In you or in me or in Peter or in anyone. We all know what we're like, really. Just men, like everyone else. So you and me and Peter and all the other leaders, we ought to be discouraging them from talking about us as if we're different. Everything I've got and everything you've got has been given to us by Jesus. So we don't have much to boast about in ourselves, do we? If we're going to boast, we boast in Christ. Oh, I know. We've got so much. We're so rich. We're so wealthy. We're like kings. But every single thing that we've been given comes as a gift from Christ. We can't boast about that in ourselves. We ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And we ought to make sure that others don't either. You agree, don't you? I wonder where this is all going to end up sometime. You know, I've been on the road so long, so many homes, moving from place to place. I've been here 3 years now and I'm thinking of moving on. And I wonder where it's going to end up. We might think we're special and the church might think that as leaders we're special, but where will it end? In the arena, maybe? The Jews have chased us out of Jerusalem, but if the Romans really take against us, then we'd really be in trouble. If that happens, then whether you're an apostle or not, you're going to end up on the wrong end of a hungry lion. I'm not really looking forward to it, but whatever Christ takes me to. You know, I saw a triumph once. You know, one of those big parades that the Romans have when they've conquered a new country, where they parade the legions and the chariots and the soldiers and the bands, and then at the back, dragged along in chains and in cages, are the prisoners on their way to die in the arena. Or maybe, if they're lucky, be sold as slaves. You know, if persecution really comes on the church, then being an apostle just means we'll end up as the biggest spectacle of all, right at the back in the biggest cage. Then with all our fancy titles and boasting and all the airs and graces that we have drawn to ourselves, when will they be? Where will they be then? I tell you, nowhere. I don't want you to think I'm getting at you, Apollos. So I'm really not. You're a brother in Christ and I love you. I'd no sooner hurt you than I'd hurt myself. It's just that we're in responsible positions and we need to make sure that if the church is going to follow anyone, it follows Christ and Christ alone, not us. We know what being in leadership is really like. Being up till all hours because people need to talk. Being talked about behind our backs. Sometimes only able to afford rags on the money the church gives us. Sometimes hungry, always cursed and persecuted, giving up our very homes in order that we're better able to serve. You know, if some people in the church heard what we're called, they wouldn't want to follow us at all. The scum of the earth. Just refuse, waiting to go out with the bins, waiting to be carted away. And there's a truth in it, you know, there's a real truth in that. I just don't get why anybody would want to follow me when they could follow Christ. You don't mind me mentioning it now, do you, Apollos? You know, I'm going to send Timothy over to Greece now in the next few days to visit some of the churches there. And I wanted to make sure that things were okay between us before he set off, so he can report that there's no disunity between you and me. You know, some of the followers over there have got a bit big for their sandals. And I want him to be able to tell them the way things really are between us, that we're at peace. I don't want to have to go over there later on and sort it out myself, but I will if I have to. It can't go on like this. I'd rather be gentle and a loving father, but if I have to sort them out, I will. It's too important for this to go on with divisions and arguments and factions. The sooner the church learns that it's not just about talking the talk, but it's about walking the walk, then the better. Oh, anyway, what am I thinking of leaving you there on the doorstep while I pile all this on top of you? Here you are, come to visit, and I leave you there while I moan about the church. Come on into the back of the house. Priscilla's back there. We'll get something to eat and something to drink. She'd love to see you, I'm sure. Aquila's around somewhere as well, but he'll be back soon. Come on back, they'll be pleased to see you. You're welcome, my brother. Come on in, follow me. John Wimber used to tell a story about how before he was saved, he used to see on Broadway in the main strip in Las Vegas, a man who used to walk along with a sandwich board, and on the front it used to say, "I'm a fool for Christ." And when you got past the other way, it would say, "Whose fool are you?" And he used to laugh at him and say, "What a fool. What an idiot wearing a board like that." And the day he got saved, God gave him that picture and said, "Now you're my fool." And it broke him up. And that just comes from that passage we've had today where Paul says, "We are fools for Christ. Go and be foolish. Take risks for God, and if you look foolish, then you're Christ's fool. And may God bless you as you go and be with you every step of the way in Jesus' name." Let's share together in the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.